Blog Talk Radio.
Technology.
Yeah, struggling what I was trying to struggle with, but hey, we're here, my man. We're here. There's a lot of things to talk about. Of course, as we give you the title of the show and the episode, this is Deflated Legacy, and we'll be getting into that a little bit further on. But of course, you know, I know. As you know, people that are new to the show that are listening, Mr. Lou here is a big time Boston. Anything, okay? Sports, athletics, whether it be pro basketball, pro football, baseball, whatever you want to call it. That's my man right here. And of course, there were some issues coming out of the top northeast of the country over there with a situation, and we'll get into that. But Lou, you know, it's NBA playoff season, big time matchups. I mean, we got Washington, Atlanta, and of course, we got Cleveland, Chicago, and then in the other, we got Memphis and Golden State, and then you got Houston and the Clippers. And that's what we're dealing with, and man, it, right now, it's starting to look like it was worth it, right? Everybody's tied up, looking sharp.
Everybody's tied up and banged up.
Yes, and starting with, why don't you go ahead and start us off with that, with these injuries. Of course, we know Paul has been out, but of course, I know there was another injury up there. And the nation's capital. Why don't you give it to us, Lou?
Yeah, well, as we talked about before, during their first game with Atlanta, you know, Bradley Beal, he got a little ankle injury, but he's been okay after that. And also in that same game, John Wall injured his wrist, but he still continued to play. But game two, he wasn't able to go. And after game one was over, he couldn't do anything with his hand. Didn't feel comfortable dribbling, holding the ball. You know, he got a fracture in his wrist, so he had to sit out that game. And it looks like a situation that he might sit out the next game as well.
Something terrible, something serious, my man. Something serious. So, you know, I heard that, you know, John Wall basically played with broken ligaments in his hands. Basically, he's all kinds of fractures through it, but he finished the game. And see, that's one thing I got to say about him that pretty much, you know, that I have tremendous respect for his spirit, because the guy, you see, that's what I'm talking about. That's what the Bulls don't have. They don't have that. Now, I've been seeing some, you know, different kind of dedication from Derrick Rose. This season, towards the end, he came back off that knee. What he, in previous time past, would have more likely just been done for the rest of the season. But he came back. He's attempting to play, and he's, you know, he's doing the best he can. So I'm very encouraged, you know, moving forward and looking at the way the, you know, the things have been, you know, looking, how the games have been looking, and his effort. But I must say, man, I can't lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you, Luke. You know, they blew an opportunity last night. I mean, they won the first game, won it somewhat, you know, in good fashion like they normally do. They had great defense. They played strong. They played heavy on perimeter. You know, they was making shots, and then they was forcing uncomfortable shots, forced basically LeBron to play, you know, more aggressive in game two, because we knew what was going to happen, right? You know, after that game, you knew game two he was going to come out more aggressive. And with Cleveland, you know, taking advantage of J.R. Wright or J.R. Smith not being in the lineup, you know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like they should have put their leg on their necks and just really choked the life out of them and try to win that game. I think they let Cleveland right back in there, and it's just like I told you. See, it's that kind of situation where, you know, you're going to end up losing. And I told you, I said the Cleveland Cavaliers before this series were going to beat the Bulls in 6 games. And now it's like pretty much, you know, what they've always done. You know, we always get excited. Do you know that in each of the playoff matchups where the Bulls have faced off against LeBron, they've won the game one? Like every time they play, they win game one. And then after that, they don't win any more games. So they need to, you know, play a little bit more enthused like they played against Milwaukee and like they played in game one. But I don't think it's going to matter at this point because the Dejounte Smith will be coming off the bench. Tristan Thompson will be in the starting lineup. They will have what they need, the tools necessary to beat them. And if the Bulls do not shoot better, you know, Pau Gasol, Jimmy Butler have a better, you know, from the field. And, you know, Rose still somewhat trying to find his way, but he almost had a triple-double. It's okay. I take a little bit of leeway with him. But they're going to have to push. They're going to have to push on this, and they're going to have to get some consistency because you don't want to split. I have a feeling Cleveland's going to split one of those games, and if they do, I think they're just going to win the rest of them. Or they mess around and lose game three, they're going to basically repeat the same thing they've been doing, which is, you know, lose all the rest of the games and be done. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think, also, watch for Cleveland. They're going to start pulling the hacking job on Joe Kim Noah.
You know, I think that's an anomaly. Joe Kim Noah is pretty, out of most big men, he's pretty okay at the line. He'll give you, a good 65%, right?
He shot like, 1 for 14 the last game?
Yeah, but, you know, that's an anomaly. You're not going to get that every game. You know what? Let me look at his – keep on talking. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to look up the stats real quick on the free throw shooting while you go ahead and give us some insight here.
I mean, yeah, he's definitely not one of the worst, but I still wouldn't trust him on the line. And, well, me personally, I can't trust nobody who's – his rotation spins on the axis of the earth. I can't trust somebody who's jump shot where the ball spins in a horizontal way. Like it's going in orbit.
That's wild. I'm going to tell you something. I looked at his stats here, Lou, and now look at this. As a career, he shoots 71% from the free throw line, but this year seems to be his worst season ever. Looking at it, this season he shot 60% from the free throw line. This season, I don't know what happened. Like he just kind of fell off. Look at his first couple of seasons. You know, his first rookie season was 69%, 67% the second, and then from then on he was with a 74%, 74%, 75%, 75%. He was, you know, pretty solid for a big man. This season he's been struggling, and what's even scarier is this postseason. This postseason, I just looked. It just said 0.71%. So,
yep.
Lord, I don't know what like he. I don't know what happened there. Is he losing his lack of concentration or what? But yeah, but through 8 preseason games, this guy he's only shooting 0.71%. What in the world?
Yep.
What's going on with this?
You know it's bad when you're shooting. You know it's bad when you're shooting free throws and when the ball bounces on the rim, it bounces off like it has no air in it at all.
Oh man, it just flats. It's like a lead pipe.
Yeah.
Hits the side of the rim.
It hits right in that dead spot where the top of the rim where it connects to the glass of the backboard. Hit right dead in that corner spot.
Oh, man.
And he's done it like 2 or 3 times.
He's got to put a little bit more air in his arc so he can make it sort of come up a little bit more like a swish. But, you know, that's very uncharacteristic, you know, judging by his career for him. I'm very surprised that's actually the case. But
you can start shooting it like a basketball and not like a planet.
See, I'm looking here. Let me see his free throw. he was basically, yeah, like 0%. He didn't make any free throws. And the law, free throw percentage was zero. He was what? Okay, he was 0 for 2, 0 for 2, 1 for 2, 0 for 2. Yeah, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. He's been 1 for 10 for the whole playoffs. 10%. But then, you know, it's kind of sad. He needs to try to score more. He's not getting to the basket enough. I mean, they're really only on 2 attempts, as I'm looking.
And
he needs to try to score a little more.
Yeah, and you're playing against a team that doesn't have, that really doesn't have any scores at that position that he plays. So,
yeah, I can't see. I can't even explain what is going on with this guy. But I tell you what, he needs to change it. He needs to fix it quick. I mean, quick. If they expect to beat them, he's going to have to really. If they expect to get past them and go even further, he's going to have to try to be a little bit more aggressive on the offensive side of the ball. We know he's there when it comes to the hustle and the defense and the rebounding. You know what I mean? We know he's pretty solid when it comes to those things, but he's got to figure this thing out. Like, he's got to figure it out, because that's no good. I mean, 4 points is not going to do it. He needs to at least score around 12 points. He needs to give us 12, right? I mean, that's not asking too much. And I'll tell you, absolutely, unequivocally, without any type of hesitation, Powell got to give you at least 19 to 20. He didn't have a great game either. And Derrick Rose, he kind of struggled a bit, but Jimmy Butler just had his first down game. LeBron must have been playing defense on him in this game. Had to. Realized, why put him on Joakim Noah if Noah's not going to put up any points anyway, right? So, that only makes sense. So I don't know what that's all about. But they need to tighten that up.
And even if they do tighten up and all that's whatever happens in this playoffs is pretty much going to be irrelevant for Chicago anyway, because Tom Thibodeau's not going to be there when the season's over. It's a wrap.
It's funny. I heard that today, basically, he's just out the door. He's just, at this point, this is his last hurrah. And this is what happens when you involve management. See, this is why, bro, because it's why I can never be a fan of that organization. They're very lucky, you know what I'm saying, that I claim them in the first place. Because, you know, Jordan, how do you – they're the first team in history to have a coach that won 6 championships and turn around and walk him out the door and say, we don't need you. Like, it's like they're just addicted to just being a loser franchise. Well, that's all right, because they got a loser owner, don't they? So it should make sense to me. But I speak
a loser owner and a loser GM.
Yeah, Reinsdorf. Well, Reinsdorf's the owner.
Jerry Krause.
Who's GM again? Jerry Krause. Yeah, those two guys. You know, and it sounds like Paxton wants to join on that bandwagon too, wants to go down that same path of being ignorant. So, listen, this guy, this coach, I think he's like third in victory, and he hasn't had Derrick Rose for over 2.5 years out of the 3. So it's like, man, what are y'all doing? Like, he's won 50 games almost every season except for one. And, I mean, basically without your superstar. They're playing Rose almost $19 million a year, and he wasn't playing 2.5 of those years. And it's like he gets results. And it's almost like, yeah, well, if we want to cut down on the reps that Derrick Rose, did Jordan ever cut down? Does Kobe ever cut down? It's just like, man, I don't know what they're doing over there. Yeah, but they're pretty stupid, so it'll make perfect sense when they're a bunch of losers. Because that's all they identify with, a bunch of nobodies that just have money. That's all it really is, right? There's a bunch of people that really know nothing about anything, that just have money. They just know how to make money, but they don't know anything about any kind of sports or athletics. They think they do, but they really don't. Because if they did, you wouldn't be firing somebody who's this good of a coach. You would just shut up and sit back and let him do his job. That's what I would do. What he's doing works, right? I mean, I'm looking at it with my own eyes. It's working. It's working.
Yeah, but it's not working the way we want it to work. It matters on how we want things to go. That's the mentality.
Absolutely right.
They got the dictatorship mentality. I don't care if I don't care if the whole base blows up, as long as everything is done my way.
And you know what? That's 100% right, and that's good because as a fan, I don't got to watch your game because it's a sorry brand anyway. Yeah, and but at the end of the day, it's going to be done my way or my way because I don't have to pay attention, even talk about you or even mention you. You always be a loser franchise because of you. You're the loser. So since you're the loser, then I'm not going to choose to deal with losers because nobody does, right? We want the winners, right? We want the Patriots. We want whoever team that Ron plays on. We want the Spurs. We want teams that win. We don't want mediocre anyway. So all you're going to do is just make it easy for people to tune you out anyway. You'll just be one of those franchises that win, I don't know, like 30 games every season, getting the first top five draft picks. That's all. So that's fine with me. I've already seen a man. We all know that it had nothing to do with anything that was intelligent on their end. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen with a cast of other players won those championships and not any of you. They won like six and you sat there and disbanded and said you didn't need them and then went straight into the dumps. That's how you got Derrick Rose in the first place. Oh, a whole bunch of host of coaches brought in Tim Floyd. Really? An Iowa coach. Hey, get out of here, man. It's ludicrous how these people are able to do some of the things they do. It's just funny. It's ridiculous. But yeah, but Thibodeau's gone, and that's fine. He'll go somewhere. I heard he's thinking about probably coming here to Orlando, which will probably be good for Orlando, which will be bad for me. Yeah, listen, he has no choice but to do it. If I'm him, I try to go to L.A. But then again, that's where Byron Scott is, so he's not going to be able to do that.
So
there's really no other place.
He's in a bad situation because you're leaving one organization that's screwed up and don't care. Then you have two other organizations, Orlando and LA, that are pretty much the same thing. They're screwed up and they don't care either.
Yeah, we'll see. And both of them have something in common, people that don't know about basketball making a decision. So except I got to give, you know, that GM credit. You know, he's I forgot his name. What's his name? It starts with an M. It's not Muschamp. No, I forgot his name. But he's a big time.
Mitch Kupchak.
It is Kupchak. Mitch Kupchak is really a pretty solid and proven GM. Like, he's actually brought in pieces that made sense. Whereas I can't give Jerry Krause that kind of credit at all. I mean, you did do good with Pau Gasol. I got it. You know what I mean? But typically, you gave a guy that's really not dedicated to his craft a whole bunch of money. That's just really the reality of it. And you're blaming the coach for him being inadequate. That's pretty stupid on my end. And if you got rid of Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and all those championships, yeah, that's pretty dumb. So you don't know anything about basketball if you do that. If it's me, Lou, you know what I'm doing. I'm going to go until I can't win any more championships, like 10, 11. Those Bulls teams could have possibly won close to maybe like 7 or 8 championships. They really could have. It's possible. They probably would have got clipped in there, but they could have at least did what San Antonio does, win one every off year. You know what I mean? Possibility.
Yeah.
And it just didn't. I mean, Jordan retired and went and played for the Bullets. How shameful is that? What does that say about your management? I'm glad he smashed him in his acceptance speech for the Hall of Fame. That's one thing. I didn't really love the speech, but I loved that part. That part felt great. Felt wonderful.
Yeah.
Bunch of chumps. Anyway, let me get off a worthless front office here and get into the other games. Looking at what's going on in Atlanta. And Washington, of course, we just mentioned the injury to John Wall in his hand. Will he be able to play? I don't know. I think he's going to have surgery on that hand, right? Or basically, he's just going to play with the pain. I think he wants to play with the pain, as I've heard through various reports.
Yeah, he's definitely going to do that. But it's still questionable whether if he's going to be ready enough for the next game, because You know, he has no feeling, not feeling, but he literally can't do anything with that hand, you know, with basketball. You know, and I've had that injury before with my wrist, and I've had the same situation where, you know, I can go out there, but as far as, like, holding the ball, passing it, dribbling it, it's like you've never done it before in your life.
Is that his non-shooting hand that's injured, the left hand? You know what? It's got to be, Luke. If he finishes the game, yeah, you know, that's got to be his non-shooting hand.
But the funny thing is that that's his mandatory hand. He's like, I think he is right-handed, but pretty much everything he does is with his left hand. That's why he's able to be so effective out there.
Yeah. He is somewhat ambidextrous, and I'm be interested to see what is his game plan. Is he going to, you know, have his hand in the position to where somewhat protected, you know, are they just going to bring him in for that support? Because let me tell you something, those guys look at him, man, he comes on that court playing with that kind of situation, it's really going to turn up the teammates, to be quite honest, because it shows his dedication and heart, shows his drive, and it's like, I think that'll be an important thing to bring to that team, and I don't think they'll carry the load. But just the fact that he's willing to go all the way for it, man, this guy, I got a tremendous amount of respect for him. Even being in that kind of situation, willing to do it because he's showing guts to me. So I like his dedication. I like what he brings to the table. I like his mentality. And I think if he can give some of that mentality, which they already have already, because, you know, Pierce is like that too, veteran presence like that. We know Bill is strong. He plays with it. Gortat, Nene, all those guys are tough guys. That's what makes Washington very difficult and challenging. But I got to be real with it, Lou. You know, with that injury, that's a big loss. Because Atlanta, it looked like they've got revitalized in game two. It's like, man, you know, we're not going to slip or sleep on these guys. And Atlanta, you know, good thing is they're going to Washington. So we'll see how it plays out. That'd be a tremendous loss. And, of course, one thing I did forget about the Cleveland and the Bulls, because I got caught up talking about trash. But, you know, looking at what Cleveland does, you know, they basically didn't – Amon Shumpert, like, injure his, like, hamstring or something. So, yeah. I know he – or was his groin – somewhere with his legs.
His groin.
He had somewhat of – his groin. That's a – bro, that's a big problem. Like, they can't afford to lose him, too. Like, if they lose him, too, I don't – we just got to be honest. I don't think LeBron has enough See, look at that. My memory's just going shot. How can I? Oh, yeah, Kyrie Irving. I don't think Kyrie Irving and LeBron do not have enough to carry that much of a load. I mean, you already lost Kevin Love. I mean, J.R. Smith does come back, so that's a good thing. But then you lose Amon Shumpert too. Listen, they it's going to come to a point to where it's going to be a big issue. It's going to be a big issue. So they're going to have to be just as aggressive as they was in game two. But, you know, yeah, Wizards, I don't know what they're going to do, Lou. Because that's a big time. You know, he can't – even the fact that he can't go full, you know, full steam or full, you know, at full force, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
It is. It's going to be a definite problem. So, we'll see.
I mean, Ramon Šešić is a good point guard. He's a real solid point guard, you know, wherever he's played. But – He's not that good of a distributor as John Wall is. So as far as, like, staying in the game, the Wizards have that. They have the people that can do it, but they won't be able to get easy shots off if you don't have John Wall out there passing them the ball.
You know, I tell you, when I saw Ramon Sessions, I thought he was going to be strong, you know what I mean? But I don't know. He's solid, but like you say, man, his passing and his distribution of the ball seems to be a little bit kind of questionable. I don't know if I would, you know, maybe even entertain letting Bradley Beal play a little bit of point guard too, or just bring the ball up anyway. You know what I mean, from that position, and let him kind of get opportunity to be a distributor. I don't know. I haven't seen. I don't know what Will Bynum can do. I mean, I think Ramon Sessions basically is a little bit better, but I mean, you never know. I think Will might be a better distributor. So we'll have to see. I don't know what they're going to do, but they got to come up with something quick because Atlanta, like, they just caught their second win. And that doesn't look pretty at all.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No, we don't want that, definitely. Wouldn't want to deal with that, wouldn't want to see that. Let's just try to lose that, right? So that's pretty much what we see in that circumstance. And then, of course, in the Western Conference, you got the Golden State against Memphis. Golden State came out the gate real good, held Memphis to a minimum amount of points, and then look what they do in return. Mike Conley comes back, and man, Memphis is a tough go, right? Even the series out, 1-1 now. And boy, they took one on Golden State's home court. So it's like, man, it's going to be a tough series. It's just Memphis is just one of those beat 'em up teams. They're so physically tough, physically strong, change the whole offset of your game. Like, it's going to be blood and guts. I expect that series to possibly even go to 7 games, man. I still got Golden State, but I think it's going to take them a while to get rid of them. So, I mean, what do you see, Lou?
Yeah, Memphis is back. I wasn't sure if Conley was going to come back and play. Then, like, coming up to the game, they said he was going to give it a go, and boy, did he give it a go. And he really set the tempo, you know. He kept Golden State from trying to go run and gun the whole game. Him and Tony Allen was just all over the place, locked down. So it's gonna be real tough for Golden State.
That guy not the best perimeter defender in the games? Like, bro, that guy's just when he was with Boston, you know what I mean? Actually, that's my thing about Jeff Green.
Yeah, Tony.
Both of them.
Jeff Green wasn't there at that time.
No, he wasn't. But I tell you, bro, they are a hassle, man. They are definitely rough team. They're rough out, and they make it difficult. You're not just finna, you know, do what you want with them. They're gonna figure out a way to punish you, and it's just crazy. You know, Mike Conley, man, he's a big piece of that puzzle, man. That's a solid play. He's very underrated, isn't he?
Conley
is very underrated.
He's the Chauncey Billups of this era.
He is. And quick question. You think Chauncey Billups gets into the Hall of Fame? Should he?
Probably.
Tough question, ain't it?
It's a tough one.
I think he gets in. He probably gets in on maybe like a second. Like, I don't know how the NBA, they don't have second and first ballot in a Hall of Famers, do they? In the NBA, it's just basically your time kind of comes after a while. He'll probably get in on the second or third ballot, but he does deserve to get in because he was pretty influential on a lot of teams. Like everywhere he goes, big time shooter, big time player. You know, played for the Nuggets. Then, of course, you know, he went to Detroit, got the championship out that way. He's been to Orlando, too, for a little bit, didn't he? I think that was one of his earlier spots that he stopped.
That was right before. That was before he went back to Denver for a little bit, then Detroit.
Yeah. I tell you, you know, that's how Orlando do. They just give away rings. Basically, players go there to go to their next stop and win a ring. That's primarily what they do. So,
well, look at the Clippers. Pretty much everybody on that team played for the Magic.
Yeah, that's true.
J.J.
Redick.
Just looking in that next series, you had J.J. Redick. You have Glenn Davis, Matt Barnes. Doc Rivers was the coach. You've on the other side on Houston, you have Dwight Howard. Hedo Turkoglu.
I forgot. He's with the Clippers, right? He's just basically sitting deep on the bench.
Yeah. Yep.
I tell you, it's just between the two of those teams, it's like almost all of them is almost all of them is that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, yeah, but looking at that, that's going to be a great series. And the Clippers managed to go ahead and one game without even having Chris Paul, and it's good. It'll give them legitimate rest. And I tell you what, I might even consider it for game three because they – let me tell you something. They pretty practically gave up that game, and they should have pretty much – I mean, Dwight Howard wasn't impressive at the line either. They could have had him too. I mean, he's 8-for-21 from the free throw line. They could have taken him, you know, let him go. Griffin, let me tell you, Blake Griffin is starting to show me he's a superstar, man. Like, this dude is really – like, I know, you know, we know when it comes to star status, he's a superstar. But I'm saying, like, this guy's showing up big in game superstar. Like, he's showing me that he's the truth. And I got to give it to him, though. I was always kind of a little bit difficult on him. I was never – it was almost like to me he was only just flash and dash to the – you know what I mean? He just catch alley-oops, and he didn't have a really good offensive ball game. He didn't really come up big in pressure situations, but he's proving me wrong.
Yeah.
He is.
We barely even see him on the alley-oop plays now. Now he's the one that's throwing the alley-oops to everybody else.
Yeah. His assist game has gotten, you know, pretty solid, man. His rebounds always solid, but he's balling, man. He's doing good. But, you know, Matt Barnes, he's a good he's a good presence. I got to say, Austin Rivers, you know, he's pretty solid, right?
Nah.
He's pretty solid. Now, yeah, he hasn't been the greatest of all time, but he's been pretty solid. I am a good solid. You know what I mean? But I tell you, their bench needs to step it up, though. I don't know what's going on with the bench, man. You know, Redick cannot afford to just, you know, fall off. We know Crawford's going to do you well. I mean, Redick, does Redick start?
Yeah.
I think Redick does start, doesn't he? So, I mean.
Yeah, he started.
No, Austin's solid, man. He's been solid. But, you know, they need more bench presence. I mean, Glenn Big Baby needs more.
They don't have a bench. That's the two people on the bench, Glenn and Crawford. Nobody else.
Yeah, that is. But they got to get some food. I mean, even left the Hudson or somebody. Somebody got to do something. Jeez.
One thing they need to do is stop fouling. Stop fouling James Harden.
Yeah. DeAndre Jordan was 4-for-6 from the free throw line. Like, that's big for him, ain't it? It's pretty big.
Yeah.
That's solid.
But it didn't do much for him in the second game because Houston, like James Harden, shot 15 and made all 15. And overall, the team had over 60 free throws, and the Clippers had like 34.
That's ridiculous, man. You can't have a discrepancy like that. It's like, what? Come on, man. That's double the discrepancy. Man, that's crazy. It's just ridiculous, man. That's between Harden and Howard, they both went, I think they went to the free throw line with like 36. They went more times to the free throw line with just Harden and Howard than the Clippers' whole team. It's ridiculous. they need to get that together. That's absolutely, you know, preposterous how that went down. So, so we see that in, I mean, that's pretty much the matchups. I mean, moving forward, I don't think our picks really switching up that much. Do you, Lou? I think we expected tough games, tough series. I said the Clippers in six. I think, you know, once Paul gets back, I think that'll be what it is. You know, I said Golden State in seven. So I think that's going to play itself out. I picked Cleveland in six, and I picked Washington in six with Atlanta. But now with John Walter, I think that's the only one that's going to change. I might have to flip that around. I might have to say Atlanta 4-6 now. What I see. What do you say, Lou?
I'm still gonna rock with the Wizards in six. They still can do it. Yeah, they can overcome it.
they can still overcome it because Bradley Beal, he, you know, he's not that good at creating shots by himself, but they still have the truth there who is the ultimate in that series in creating shots by himself. And Nene is way more physical, is way too physical for her. And you have Gortat at the center who pretty much can pass the ball all around from down low. So he's very versatile. So I think they can grind it out. It's going to be more difficult just for, you know, players like Beal and Paulo, who's been playing a lot better for them off the bench. And a little bit tougher for Pierce because he's not going to get a lot of, you know, just open standing three-point shots. But he'll be able to create shots by himself. I think they'll grind it out.
No, that sounds good, but that's well, we're pretty much around the same. Then you still sticking with yours. I'm switching mine just a bit, but I'm pretty much the same too. So that'll be great. Now, like I said, we're gonna get to this NFL headline, of course, the deflated legacy, and of course, we're talking about the whole New England Patriots Tom Brady situation with the deflated footballs. And look, man, they got text messages. They got a whole Wells report on what actually went down right here. And it's like, come on. At this point, you can't deny what his involvement was. You know, it is what it is. My whole thing is, why didn't he just come out and say it? Yeah, why deny it? I mean, at this particular point, even from the beginning, you should have said, well, listen, I like my balls a little bit deflated to get a good grip on it. I typically do this anyway. I didn't know it was going to be underneath the legal limit, but, you know, here it is. This is what I was trying to aim for. Why didn't he just say that? That would have been so much easier if he would have just said that. But no, he lied about it. And
especially with this team that's being so under fire for this type of thing going on for the past, you know, multiple years.
Yeah, man, under heavy scrutiny, especially after Spygate. And any other type of – but everybody in the league knows that, hey, man, the Patriots, they're going to always do whatever it takes to get an edge over everybody else. And that's a known thing. Nobody, you know, nobody's hidden in the dark about that kind of situation. We know if it comes down to it, that's what we're going to do. And now, you know, it's sad to say, but he's going to catch a little bit of heat. They might try to make an example out of him, right? Pretty much, I don't know how many games we're going to suspend him for, but I'm sure it's going to be something. And – I'm just kind of looking at it. It's going to tick and they're going to rub people the wrong way, but it's just what's going to happen. You know, we cannot escape that fact of the matter. So I don't know what to even make of it. It's almost like one of those things. It's like, why even take the risk? This is pretty stupid for you to try to take the risk, right? Just if you're going to do it, do something like this, tell the truth about it. Don't lie about it because it's just going to make it worse. And that's exactly what he did. He made it worse. Flamed it up, flared it up, and it's like, man, everybody's on this case now. So
I feel bad for the man. He took the risk. He took the risk because it's just like I said with all other players, especially when it comes to the NFL, everybody calls Tom Brady what? The golden boy.
Yeah.
He's thinking he can't do no wrong. It's just going to be a little slap on the wrist. No big deal. And that's why he followed through with it.
Every time, you know, and what makes it bad, Lou, is that he sat there at a press conference and basically lied. It's like, why do you do things like that? Especially when, you know, in the age we live in, somebody's going to find out if you did or not. And you might as well just be upfront about it. You know, lying about it just going to make you look more like, you know, unworthy. Like, you know, you actually thought you were going to get over. And it's like, come on, man. You know what you're doing in the dark is going to come to the light nowadays. TMZ is going to have something. Somebody's going to have something.
And the equipment guy is stupid too, because you can't really even say what he was doing is in the dark, because the text messages was coming from a company phone.
Oh Lord, you see what I mean?
so you pretty much got on the damn big screen and did in front of anybody, basically.
I tell you, Lou, you know, some of these guys, I don't know, they need to go to detective school or something, because this is just ridiculous. What happened with that? But that's all I'm going to spend on it, because it's not even worthy of taking up this much time over. It's just ridiculous what happened. He's got to pay the piper. Yeah. I think they're going to come hard on him, and he's just going to lose about four games. You know, as far as Belichick, did he know? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe. I mean, typically, yeah, you think about the balls and the football.
Yeah, you know, in the reports they said that, you know, Tom Brady, you know, basically Tom Brady was involved in the situation and everybody else as far as, like, in the front office and coaching, they didn't know anything.
Wasn't aware of it, right? Yeah, because it's something menial. It's like between him and the equipment guy, that's like a thing, not a big deal for the coach. But, of course, he's going to take some kind of heat for it because he's the head coach. So I don't necessarily blame him, but more than likely, you know, he's going to catch something too. And that's ridiculous for him to catch something. He really shouldn't catch anything. But Tom Brady, he's going to probably lose about two to four games, I think, probably out of this situation. It's not going to be good for him.
Yeah.
Awesome. Two more stories, Lou, in the NFL. Of course, I wanted to bring this up. Actually, I'll bring the main up, but the one story I'm going to talk about is Lael Collins' situation. That's the guy, or young offensive lineman coming out of LSU, that basically had a girlfriend that got murdered. And, of course, the police released his name out there, and as just, you know, somebody, they just wanted to get his side of the story. But it turns out he's not even a suspect. So what did that cost him? Basically, millions of dollars in the draft. He got his first-round talent. And basically, he went undrafted because of this situation. So that's got to hurt. And for whatever reason that happened, man, that's got to be – that's a tough one to deal with, right? So I don't know what to say. I know Buffalo Bills have been talking to him. I know Dallas Cowboys basically talked to him today. One of the Joneses' son, or maybe Jerry himself, went down and went and talked to him. And, man – I mean, you could basically get this guy for nothing. Basically, league minimum was like, what, $300,000? He might get like maybe $200,000. Or no, I mean, he might get like $300,000 with some guaranteed, you know, bonuses included. But this guy could have been easily making anywhere between 19, you know, to $15 million a year. I mean, he got robbed. Terrible. And it's just the way to, you know, the cookie crumbles sometimes, man. And, you know, I saw him on the training channel interacting with some of the players. Man, the guy got a real bubbly personality. So it kind of feels bad that he had to go through that. But, you know, that's how it is by chance. You know, life happens. And then when life happens, you got to adjust to it. And I don't necessarily like it. But, boy, you know, you overcome it. And for the most part, you won't have to worry about being a suspect. You were not involved with your ex-girlfriend's murder. So that's very reassuring for me, and I feel good about that. But that's got to be tough, right, Lou?
Yeah.
That's got to be tough.
It's a real tough situation. And there's too many times where I hear certain stories like that where someone is wrongfully accused of something and they pretty much lose out on like a prosperous future because of it.
Yeah, I mean he's lost a lot from this circumstance. So, you know, hey man, prayers go out to him. You know, hopefully he overcomes this and then he'll have an illustrious career in the NFL. And like I said, you might not get it now. You might get it second time around. Where okay, you know, he goes out, he shows out as a rookie his first 2-3 years, and guess what? His next contract when it's up, it's going to benefit him greatly. So everybody's going to be on edge because of the Aaron Hernandez situation. Basically, he fooled the whole world about his persona and his involvement in these murders that he's participated in. You know what I'm saying? So everybody that has any kind of likeness of that's, you know, that's coming into the NFL or that's presently on a roster is going to face the same kind of scrutiny, right? So it's like, I know it's not right, but then at the same time, it's like, you know, this is something that we should already expect. We already know how this situation is going to go. It's a copycat league. Nobody wants to press the envelope. No domestic violence, no kind of murder, none of that kind of situation. If your name get caught up in the mix, we're going to have to dismiss it. And that's basically what they did to him. So it's sad that he got caught up in that and that he actually didn't have anything to do with the situation. It's very unfortunate. But in a lot of cases, that's what happens, right? One person does something, and everybody else got to suffer behind the repercussions, guilty or innocent. That's what happens. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the way it is. I mean, think about it, right, Lou? That's why we have insurance. I pay a monthly insurance and you paid monthly insurance not because we got into an accident, because somebody else did. And because they didn't have coverage, they have to jack it up, because maybe the people that are usually this age are the ones that are getting into the accident, and because they're that age, we got to pay a higher premium because we're in the same age bracket. It's not fair, but look, it's a qualification. We got to do it. Same thing.
Yep.
And speaking on that, that's, and I'm going to get off on a tip before I get to this last topic, but, you know, listen, Luke, you know, people always, and listen, hey, you believe what you want to believe, but I can't stand it when atheists come out and they say something like, well, we don't believe in God because if there was God, then there would be no suffering. Like, who told you that? Didn't he tell you once you ate the fruit, it was going to be bad luck for you from here on out? That's what he said. Well, you just probably thought he was just talking to Adam and Eve. No, he was talking to everybody. Because they didn't abide by the rules, we got to go through the hardships that come to us. That was a curse on all mankind, not just them two. People. But anyway, that's my sliding off the topic situation. I just had to say that I could have a lovely conversation with atheists and really poke holes in their way of thinking before they can think they can poke holes in mine. But anyway, moving forward, last topic of the night. Look, Luke, you had McCoy and Buffalo, of course, LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy, had an interview, had a press conference where he was speaking to Buffalo media about the situation going on in Philadelphia. And basically what he said, hey, you know, I don't know about Kelly, no personal situation. I never really had a personal thing with him, but he likes his own players. But it seemed like he dumped all the good back players, but he kept Riley Cooper. You see what the problem is, right, Lou? You see what it is? Let me tell you what this is. See, this really has to do with Riley Cooper. This is not really about anything else but Riley Cooper. Because I'm going to give you an example.
Yeah.
See, Riley Cooper went out there and had a good time, got drunk, and told his real feelings how he feels about people of other races, specifically black people. Called him out the name, said the N-word, and not in an endearing way, right? Because trust me, if he would have said it in an endearing way, I don't think a lot of us would have had so much of an issue, right, Lou? If he would have said it and would have slipped out his mouth and said, yeah, you know, I love my niggas or something like that, we, as black people, probably wouldn't like it, but we wouldn't take offense to it. It's like, okay, you done said this in a derogatory way. You done showed me that I'm on a teammate with somebody who really secretly despises me. And what do they do, Lou? They basically gave him time off from practice. That was his punishment. He really didn't suffer anything. He didn't get fined, really. And it's like, okay, you keep him, and then he gets the starting job. If you remember, he was starting that wide receiver last season. Then now, you know, you get rid of DeSean Jackson, who had his best season in the NFL with this system. You let him go. Jeremy Maclin, same thing, another top receiver. You let him go. Shady McCoy, best running back, second best running back in the league. You let him go. But Riley Cooper is still there. Then you put Riley Cooper up as the franchise face for the month of February, which ends up being Black History Month. Black History Month, but he don't really like black people. So it's like this has so many holes in it that, you know, we can just take this everywhere. We can fly and go from here all the way across Europe and find issues with how many stops and how many things that are signaling us as a red flag. Now, if you ask me personally, do I feel that Chip Kelly is a racist? No, I don't think so. I think he likes a particular type of attitude, or a yes, sir. That's why he brought in Tim Tebow, you know, and he brought in Mark Sanchez. These are people that typically don't cause waves in the locker room. People love their attitude. They're very submissive to acknowledging. You know, right, Lou? Some of these other characters, DeSean Jackson, Shady McCoy, and I don't know about Maclin somewhat, but I'm pretty sure, like, they have a little bit of an edgy kind of attitude, combative type of attitude type. You get what I'm saying? So I think that's what it is with Chip Kelly. But where he went wrong is that they did not properly punish Riley Cooper. See, that's the problem. Had you properly punished him, you know, none of this probably would have gotten to the length or would not have gotten to the issue or has gotten as big as it has gotten. It would have been taken care of. slightly different. People would have been taking it a big time different than the way they have been taking it or the way they are taking it. So
yeah,
that's typically what I see. But, I mean, tell me what you see. Let me get your feedback because I don't want to just swallow it all up. But, you know, let me just hear from you what you think.
Yeah, it's turned into an overreacting situation. That's basically what it is. This is not a racial issue because if that was the case, then they wouldn't draft no black players at all. They wouldn't have no black players at all on the team. It's just a situation where you have a player that did something that he shouldn't have done and pretty much didn't really get punished for it. And the ones who are not doing the wrong things are the ones that are getting thrown by the wayside. So that's what the real issue is here.
So you know what? In a sense, I'm going to tell you, it could be slight, somewhat of a discrimination, or I would say a bias. There seems to be a bias. Like,
yeah.
Okay, if I do or say this, that's what I get. But when he does it, he doesn't get the same. You see what I'm saying? So it has
yeah.
some overtones there. Like, okay, you know, this guy, he wanna come up here and really put the hammer down on me and put me in the headlock. But then you want to give him a love tap on the shoulder and rub his head. And it's like, you know,
yep.
typically that ain't just what Chip Kelly do. That's what the NFL does. Right?
Yeah.
We've been seeing this for years. We know it ain't equal the way they deal with the punishment. You know, you get an aggressive, messed up, you know, black guy, the media is guilty of it too. They cover it like that. You know, a black guy does something, Chad Ochocinco, Terrell Owens, and they just demonize them until the end of their days, right? But you look at a Richie Incognito, they start with the talking about the man's past and his background, how he had it rough, and, you know, he just ain't have a father, you know. They start making you feel sorry for him. It's the way they cover him. And they're just as guilty on a lot of these situations too. But, you know, typically that's what it is, man. People are looking at it. And, you know, it's basically they didn't deal with Riley Cooper's situation. This guy, he should have got a more severe punishment. If he would have got a more severe punishment and a tongue lashing, then I think it would have been different. But the fact that he didn't and the fact that, you know, other situations going on, of course, when you know, Deshaun Jackson got traded, all these bad stories start coming up. And they kind of did the same thing in Dallas with Dez Bryant, right? You was knowing about some of these situations early on, but when it came time to give him some money, you want to come bring some stuff up, some nonsense. So,
yep.
You know, that's typically what I believe they've done. So, you know, with that said, you know, I'm going to just leave it to rest. But, you know, maybe we can go ahead and revitalize and pick this up come Sunday because now we're up against the clock. But with that said, Lou, once again, we brought him a show a little bit tardy to the party, but it's okay. We're gonna definitely function. And make sure everybody have a great weekend and a happy Mother's Day. We will catch you on Mother's Day at 8 o'clock at night. Once again, Sports Lounge, that's my man Lou Matic, and I'm your boy Marlon. You can call me the Magician, man. That's my new name, man, the Magician. Just like Merlin the Magician, you can call me Marlon the Magician. So it's the Magician. That's I'm going to take that name. I'm going to edit that name and put it on my back. That's the man. It's the Sports Lounge TSL, and you guys can turn in. Or tune in, I should say, and get it in with the podcast. We'll catch you guys Sunday. Leave with beautiful music, some good, nice features, and peace. That's what we'll do.